Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I hope you're glad you came to church tonight. Praise the Lord. If you did, you came to the right place at the right time because God's got good things for us. Amen. We got the Word of God. There's so many wonderful things in here. Praise God. This afternoon as I was meditating in the Word and just spending time in prayer and with the Lord and just resting in Him. The Lord just continually reveals to me how awesome His Word is. How awesome. And to think that some people have left it behind, some people go without it. It's just, it's amazing to me that people could do that, that people could think that their life would be better off without the Word. And that's just because they don't have an understanding of what the Word really is. You know, the Bible is meant to change our lives. God gave us the Word. He gave us His Son, who is also the Word. But He gave us the Word so that our lives would be changed, so they'd be forever different. God, I never get tired of saying this. You know, I say it, I think, just about every single week and anywhere I minister, praise the Lord. I always say the same thing, that the Word of God is so precious to me. And I'm just so thankful for it because without the Word, I wouldn't have the help that I have. Praise God, because God set me free through His Word because He's good, because He loves us. Amen. And that's what He's going to do here tonight. Praise God. Well, glory to God. Tonight's message is called Making Our Way in Faith. Praise the Lord. Making our way in faith. Praise God. God makes the path. He gives us the path to life. He makes a plan, but we make our way through that. And what I mean by that is we decide whether or not we walk out the plan of God in our life. God doesn't decide it. You know, there's so many people that think that God is, because they call, and God is sovereign in a sense, but God doesn't control everything that happens on earth. You know, we know this, of course, through Scripture, but God isn't some sadistic puppet master up in heaven just pulling strings and making one to win and one to lose. That's not how it works. God's given every person the ability and the power to walk in His blessing and in His glory. Hallelujah. Now, that doesn't mean that God has made everybody equal in the sense that everybody starts in the same place. Some people start in many different places. Some people start, they're very wealthy. Some people start, they're very poor. Some people start off, with lots and lots, lots of opportunity, lots of talent. Some people have no talent at all. But see, God isn't so worried about all that stuff because He knows that the Word is the great equalizer. The Word is the thing that equalizes us. The Word is the thing that brings us together. The Word is the thing that will guide us and show us the truth. Of course, the Holy Spirit is our guide as well, but He always works in conjunction with the Word, never separate from it. Amen. In John 15, I believe it is, He tells us that the Holy Spirit will, Jesus told us that the Holy Spirit will remind us of the things that Jesus said. Amen. And that's the Word of God. Hallelujah. But God makes a path and we make our way. Amen. Praise the Lord. What I mean by God makes a path is He doesn't decide everything that's going to happen to you in life, but He does decide where He wants you to go. He does decide what He wants you to obtain. He does decide in which directions He wants you to go, but we always are the ones to decide that, whether or not we're going to follow that, because that's what He gave us, free will, and that's what free will really is for. Free will is so we could, I almost said free willy there for a second, hallelujah, but free will is so that we choose to follow Him, because that's what God always desired from us. He wanted us to choose to follow Him. Amen? Praise the Lord. We make our way through faith. That's how we do it, by trusting God, by believing Him. You know, so many people have a hard time with this. They have a hard time with the concept that God doesn't just make things happen. But see, we obtain things through faith. From God through faith. Everything we get from God, we get through faith by what we believe from Him. Amen. Now, God, there's some things that God gave us, like Jesus, that Jesus didn't come by our faith. It came by God's faith. Praise the Lord. But He still came through faith. Amen. And so we have to understand that faith is kind of the catalyst that God uses to drive everything on this earth. If we want things to change, we change it through faith. If we want things to be a certain way, they become that way through faith. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Operating in faith is operating in assurance. Assurance, knowing that God is true to His Word, that He's going to do what He said He was going to do, and that when God says that you can have something, it means that you can be assured that you're going to have that. Yeah. Amen. When God says that, when the Word says it, when the Bible says this is yours, then it's yours. That's assurance. That's what operating in faith is believing that. Amen. There's so many Christians that go through life and they don't believe that. And that makes a huge difference. Because if you don't believe it, you're not going to walk into the things God has for you. How do we know this? We know this about salvation as well. Praise the Lord. That's the most basic of things that we obtain from God is salvation. Our salvation, but we obtain it through faith. We know that there's many people who won't obtain salvation and therefore they'll never see it. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. Operating in faith is operating in assurance. Making our way in faith is seeking His plan and then trusting Him enough to follow it. Amen? See, sometimes when we seek God's plan, it doesn't, you know, sometimes the plan can come to us easy. There's a lot of people that never even see the plan, that never even know the plan, have no idea what the plan is. But then there's those of us who go to church, hallelujah, those of us who seek God and get into prayer and try to find out what God wants for us, amen. But just because we seek Him and we get the plan doesn't mean that we're going to walk it out. We still have a choice in the matter. We still have a decision to make as to whether or not we're going to do it. You all came to church tonight. There's plenty of people that didn't come to church tonight. There's plenty of people that will come to church tomorrow, and there's plenty of people that won't come to church tomorrow. And why is that? Because some of them just have greater revelation of God's plan. But see, it's always a choice. It's always a decision that they make. But we have to understand that when we start following God's plan, that there's going to be opposition to that. Why is there going to be opposition? Because the devil doesn't want you to operate according to God's plan. That's why when church comes around, you'll have a headache. That's why when church comes around, you won't feel well or something will come up. Praise the Lord. I remember one time early in our Christian walk, right before church happened, all the plumbing in my house broke. Praise the Lord at one time. And so I had to tear apart my entire bathroom right before church. Amen. And I ended up not going to church. Well, nowadays, I probably would just go to church anyway. Yeah. Amen? Because I've learned something. I've learned that church is where my help is. That's where my fix is. Because that's where my connection with God starts. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now, we can have connection with God on our own, and we should. But we can't have the full connection of God without the local church, without our pastor, all these things. Amen? So we understand that it's important because this is the way that God designed it. Amen? But just because God designed it a certain way doesn't mean men are going to follow it. Amen? Praise the Lord. Every once in a while, I saw this today. You know, we have roads all over the place. And I saw this field that looked like somebody just took off from the road and just drove right through it. Amen. Well, just because there was a road there didn't mean that person was going to stay on it. That whoever decided to get off that road and go into that field, they made their own path. Well, see, we can do that with God, but we're not going to get the results that we want. We're not going to get the things we desire. We're not going to see the result at the end of the road that we want if we're not following the plan of God. Amen? Well, before I talk too much tonight, I want to get into the Word here. So turn with me to Proverbs 19. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Excited for the Word, right? Praise God. You know, we can have church that is sad. We can have church that is boring, but I'm just going to endeavor not to have church that way. Amen. I don't want to have, when the Bible tells us that the Word is life, praise the Lord, and that it's, and life is not death. Amen. There's a lot of people whose life looks like death. I don't want my life to look like death, amen? And so I won't want my church to look that way either. And that's why I connect and get excited. Yeah. Praise God, hallelujah. Proverbs 19, verse 21. What does it say here? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. I'm reading the wrong one, sorry. I'm in 18:21. Aha, yeah, there we go. There are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand. Praise God, hallelujah. There are many plans in a man's heart. That word plans is also the word imaginations. Hallelujah. Have you ever seen that before? Imaginations. Have you ever known somebody who's got a good imagination? You know, growing up, I was a child that had a great imagination. I'd come up with all kinds of stuff. Praise the Lord. But just because you imagine it doesn't mean it's good to something you want to be doing. Amen. I've imagined a lot of things in life that I also put into practice, and it turned out they weren't such good imaginations. Amen. Praise the Lord. There are many plans in a man's heart. I see this. This is maybe one of the most prevalent things in the church today, in Christians today, is that there are many plans in their hearts, but they don't seek the counsel of the Lord. There are many plans. Many people have many ideas. Oh, I'm going to do this. I'm going to start this church here, or I'm going to start this Bible study here, or I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that. They've never consulted the Lord, and that's why they never get the fullness of what they intended, because it wasn't the Lord's plans, it was their plan. See, you can do something even that you think is right. You can imagine something right. Listen, I think that there's a lot of good-hearted Christians out there that aren't just thinking of ways to screw everything up. Amen. They're not just going around saying, "Hey, how can I ruin this life?" Or how can I waste my time here or waste my time here? Amen. There's not a lot of people that have purpose in their plans. I'm not saying that their plans don't have purpose. But what does the Bible say? There are many plans in a man's heart. It says that, right? Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand. Hallelujah. There are many plans, there are many imaginations, there are many ideas in a man's heart. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Has anyone ever come up with an idea in here? Is there anyone that has ever had an idea? Praise the Lord. Nobody, just a couple of people in the front here. Nobody else has ever had an idea. You never had something come to you and you say, "Man, that's really good. I should do that." Hallelujah. And so then you start to put it to practice, and other people come in, and they don't think that you had such a good idea. Right. Have you ever seen that? Yeah. And what do people always do? They get offended, right? They get mad. "Well, you didn't like my idea, so I'm going to get mad." Well, why are you getting mad? Because your pride says that was your idea, and therefore that was the best idea out there. Yeah. How about when groups get together? Have you ever had to work in a group with somebody with a bunch of different people that don't agree on something? "Oh, this person will have a great idea over here. This person will have a great idea." Don't we have to have that in government? We have Republicans and Democrats. Both of them coming up with lots of good ideas. Both of them are so different, but they don't seem to be working half the time. Why is that? Because they're not seeking the Lord's counsel. Amen? We can come up with ideas. You know, when you come up with an idea, wasn't your idea the best one that you heard on the table? Very rarely do you hear people say, "You know what? We had this idea session, we had this brainstorming session, and we came up with all these things, and I said this really great thing. But then Mark got up here and he said this, and it was so much better than my idea." No, you don't hear that very often. Praise the Lord. But we need to hear that. We don't hear that in the church too often. See, a lot of times, I know of a church group that they were, the pastor was directed by God to do a certain something. We'll just say it that way. And there was a group of people who all had a say and could have a say, praise the Lord. And they never asked the pastor what was on his heart to do. Instead, they just said, "Well, this is my idea, this is my idea, this is my idea. This is how we should implement what God told you to do. This is how we need to implement what God told you to do." Well, listen, if God's going to tell you to do something, he's going to give you the way to do it. If God's going to tell me to do something, he's going to give me the way to do it. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Why? Because that's the way God works. That's the way he always works. There are many plans in a man's heart. There are many imaginations in a man's heart. There's lots of things you can come up with. That doesn't mean it's the best thing to do. Hallelujah. There's a lot of things that you can think of. Hallelujah. You can sit around. I can sit around. I could get paid to do nothing but think of things. Oh, amen. I could. I think about it. I got so many great ideas. If you were my wife, praise God for my wife. My wife is a special woman because she has to put up with me. Amen. I am what they call, in college circles, I'm what they call an ideator. Hallelujah. My wife is what they call an implementer. I am an ideator. I come up with ideas. I can come up with tons of ideas. I can have a surplus of ideas. I can sell books on ideas. Amen. We're just going to start calling. I'm going to write a book. It's going to be called Jeff's Idea Book. Hallelujah. And people are going to buy it. They're going to line up for miles to buy it. And people will say, "Hey, man, these are great ideas. Well, how do we do any of this stuff?" I don't know. That's not my job. I just came up with the ideas. Amen. See, this is the way so many people are. They operate based on ideas that have no direction. They have no plan to them. Amen. My wife is called an implementer because she takes somebody who has an idea, and she has plenty of good ideas on her own, but she'll take somebody's idea and she'll come up with a way of making it happen, which is called implementation. Hallelujah. Easy for me to say tonight. Praise God. Well, see, it's important to be able to implement an idea if you want. See, this is why, you know, love him or hate him, Donald Trump, praise the Lord, the man comes up with ideas, and then he implements them. He makes them happen. Whether you like him or not, you can't argue with the fact that he makes things happen. Okay? So it doesn't matter. I'm not here being pro-Trump or anti-Trump or anything like that. I'm just telling you that he's a great example of somebody who just makes stuff happen. Sometimes people don't like the things that he makes happen, but he makes them happen. Hallelujah. That's what an implementer. God is the ultimate implementer. He is also the ultimate ideator. Hallelujah. God will make you, give you ideas, and he'll tell you how it'll come to pass, and he'll make it be successful. This is why I love following the Lord, because since I've learned to follow the Lord, everything, whereas before everything I touched went to pot, now everything that I do as led by the Lord, I rejoice at the end of it because something good happens, comes of it. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So we looked at that. There are many plans, many imaginations in a man's heart. Now let's go to Jeremiah 29:11, because we probably have never heard this scripture before. Praise the Lord. Jeremiah 29:11. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Hallelujah. You want to know something interesting? That word thoughts in the Hebrew is the exact same words in the last scripture we read for plans. Imaginations. Look at what God says. He says, for I know the thoughts, I know the plans, I know the imaginations that I think towards you, says the Lord. Think about that. Our God is the God who imagined everything around you. He imagined, when you look at that beautiful sunset and you think, wow, that's just gorgeous. He imagined that. When you look at a flower and you think about how many different kinds of flowers, just before service, we were looking out there in the flower bed out there, and there's all kinds of different flowers coming up. And my mom knew what a lot of them were, and they're going to be beautiful when they come up. Just because we know what kind of flowers they are, right? God imagined that. He imagined that. They didn't exist, and he imagined it. But that same imagination, that imagined you and I, every part of our being, every fiber, every way our muscles lay and ligaments work and how everything just comes together for the good, praise the Lord. That same God who imagined everything that exists, he's having imaginations toward you.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. That's pretty exciting, isn't it? Doesn't that mean something? I mean, the same God who designed everything. Have you ever looked at anything and just been absolutely amazed and in awe by it? Just looking at it and go, how is this so? Praise the Lord. We've driven across the country and all around the country. You see all kinds of different places. I love driving across our country because you get so many different scenes and views and different kinds of land. Praise the Lord. I don't like driving across Ohio. Ohio ain't fun to drive across. But every other place that I've driven across has been pretty good. Amen. And so we see all these wonderful and beautiful things. God imagined it. He imagined it all. That same one, that same God, the same one who spent all this time, he imagined something for each and every one of us. Praise the Lord. God has thoughts, he has plans, he has ideas for each and every one of us. But we choose whether or not we'll walk those out. God isn't withholding anything. Actually, the Bible tells us that he withholds no good thing for those who love him. He withholds nothing. God is not withholding from you. God is not keeping back. You know, it's deep rooted in religion and all kinds of religions, not just Christian religion, but just all kinds of religion and superstition. But they used to do things, you know, farmers and stuff. If they would have a real good crop year or something like that, the next year they would shout out bad harvest, because they would think, I'm not just saying all farmers, but some farmers would do this. They would shout out bad harvest because they didn't want the gods. They would say gods, but they didn't want the gods to get jealous because they had a good harvest and then send them a bad harvest. So you see, there's a superstition that's just prevalent in humans that thinks that God is always waiting to take away from them. When Jeremiah 29:11 says that he has imaginations for you. The same one, imaginations, like you come up with great ideas. Have you ever thought of great ideas? You ever get excited about something? praise the Lord? Is there any, I mean, it's just something that just excites you and you just start thinking about all kinds of things that could happen with that. Praise the Lord. I know some people get excited about thinking about winning the lottery. Glory to God. They think about winning the lottery. They'll buy these worthless tickets over and over and over again because they think they're going to win something. Yeah, but you know, it's set up for you to lose. But people still, they'll dump thousands. I know of people who have dumped hundreds of thousands of dollars into Lotto and never got anything. Why? Because most people don't get anything off of it. And those who do, almost all of those who do, end up in poverty afterwards anyways because they don't have the character. But see, God's word has given us a way to increase our own wealth and make us so we could be stable with our wealth and have things that continually supply. This is God's plans. God wants us to increase. The Bible tells us in Genesis, he told us, be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful and multiply. He wanted us to subdue the earth. He wanted us to rule the earth. That was God's intent. Jesus' purpose was to bring us back to that. And yet so many Christians have missed that. So many Christians have forgotten that God has a purpose for us being here. And the purpose is not just for you to take up space. It's not just for you to sit there and ponder God, although he likes you pondering him. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah. But Jeremiah 29:11 doesn't stop there. So I know the thoughts. I know the plans. I know the imaginations that I think towards you, says the Lord. They are of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope, to something to look forward to. Yeah. God has something for you to look forward to. His imaginations towards you are or something, he hasn't given them all to you yet. He will as you seek him. He hasn't brought them all out yet, but he's had these imaginations, so you seek him and you find him. Because the Bible goes on to say, then, once you've realized this, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search with me with all your heart. This is why God's plan is hidden from us. Because his desire is that we seek him. His desire is that we find that plan, that we discover what that plan is. And he hasn't hidden it so far that we can't find it, but he's hidden it just far enough that it's going to take some effort to get to it. Why? Because anything precious, anything valuable isn't just something that's handed over. Amen? If everybody in the world had thousands of pounds of gold, gold wouldn't be worth anything. Right. It would be worthless. Right. If everybody in the world had thousands of it. You know, my pastor used this example before. You know, he was talking about, I think it was a Mickey Mantle rookie card, praise the Lord, and this rookie card is worth so much money because early on, people just destroyed them. They didn't keep them. And then they ended up being, later on, they ended up being very valuable because there wasn't any. But if all of a sudden somebody opened a treasure trove and somebody found 50,000 Mickey Mantle rookie cards, they wouldn't be worth anything anymore. The value would drop away because anything precious isn't just handed over, isn't just found. You know, God, the Bible tells us in Genesis that God put the gold in the land and then he called the gold good. He said it was good. The gold and silver, God put it in the land. But what did he do with it? He buried it. He didn't just lay it on top of the ground so he could just walk up and pick it up. Amen? Praise the Lord. You don't see people making rings out of grass. Right? Why is that? Because grass isn't worth anything. Yeah. I mean, you may, but there's no worth to it. Right. You know what I mean? If you have a piece of glass, I mean, when we're kids or whatever, we tie up grass around your, but if it breaks, you don't cry about it. No. Right. Praise the Lord. But now what if you had a 24-karat ring that was about that thick gold going around your neck? Hallelujah. And you lost that. Or you broke that. Now you'd feel bad, wouldn't you? Yeah, because it's precious. See, God has placed things there. He has put things around because they're precious. He wants us, it's precious to him that we go and find and seek his plan and that we get in it and then we have faith and use faith. You know, Hebrews 11:6 tells us without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith is what God is after. God is after your faith is, yes, God, I believe that you have a plan for me. Yes, God, I believe that it's good. And I'm actually going to spend my life seeking that plan. I'm going to take my life and figure out what that plan is. That's what God wants. That's what blesses God. Because that's true faith. See, it takes faith to continue in God's plan. If we don't, it takes faith to continue pressing through, praise the Lord, when it doesn't look like a lot. It takes faith to continue going, you know, it's just like an investment. You know, people who invest in things, and they end up making lots and lots of money off their investments over time. It's not because they knew that they would get rich instantly. A lot of people gave up a lot of things so that they would have the payout later on, because they knew that it was going to take over a course of time. Praise the Lord. But those who never invested at all, they'll never see any of it, right? Well, praise God. It's the same principle with God, and that's the way things work. God wants us blessed. He wants us to have things. He wants us to see it, but we're not going to do it unless it becomes important to us enough for us to go out and look for it. Amen? 1 John 3:10, just look at it up here. It says, in this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. So this is how you know the children of God, and this is how you know the children of the devil. You know, there's a lot of people going around saying, oh, we're all God's children, but that's not true. The Word tells us specifically otherwise. The Bible tells us, Jesus told some people, he said, you are of your father, the devil. Yeah, because it's true. So I think it's John 8:44 or something like that. See, because the truth is, not all of us are of our father, God. Amen? Only those. Look at this. Whoever does, in this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. So this is how you know both of them, in other words. In this, right here, whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor he who does not love his brother. Okay? So if you don't practice righteousness, you are of the devil. And if you don't love your brother, not just your brother, your earthly brother or whatever, but your brother or sister in the faith, amen? Praise the Lord. He who does not practice, or whoever does not practice righteousness. Righteousness, quite simply, is living acceptable to God. That's what righteousness is. Righteousness isn't some great, huge thing. It's not some hard, understandable thing. Something that, you know, some people say, oh, you're so self-righteous. Yeah, they don't understand what this is talking about. They don't understand what this is getting at. Righteousness literally is living acceptable to God. How God said to live. When you live in a way that's acceptable to God, praise the Lord, you are living righteous, then you are his child. But if you are living in a way that is not acceptable to God, then you're not of his, you're not his child. You're a child of the devil. The Bible says it. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's just, so many people get confused in this stuff, but it's the truth. How could you live acceptable to him by living opposite to what he planned for you? I want to ask you that. If I make a plan and I have a purpose to something, anyone who doesn't follow that plan is not acceptable to me in that, whatever that ideal is. Amen? I've told my kids, this is my plan for our household. I'm the father of this household. I decide what the plan is. Now, my wife and I work together for it, but we decide what the plan for our household is going to be. This is the way it's going to look. My son, I have an older son here who's 20 years old, praise God, and still lives at home, praise the Lord. And it doesn't bother us. It's something we actually thoroughly enjoy having him there. But there's condition. It's conditional. We tell him that if you're going to live here, you're going to live under our plan. If you want the benefits that come from living in our household, are there benefits? Sure, when I was 20 years old, I didn't have any land out back of my house that I could go run around on and do anything I wanted to out there. I didn't have access to the things that I have now. Yeah. Praise the Lord. When my first apartment was not in the place that I wanted it to be, and it didn't look the way that I wanted it to look. Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, and I went when I wanted to eat, I had to buy my own groceries. Everything in our house is open to him if he wants to. Now he has some rent and stuff that he pays, and that's right and good. He works full time, praise the Lord. But it certainly doesn't amount to what it would cost him to live on his own. But so if he wants to live there, there's a plan, there's a purpose for it, and there's a reason we have to live according to that plan, because my wife and I have learned what causes peace in our household. And when people live according to that plan, then the peace in our household is ensured. It's always there. We have a peaceful household. Why? Because we have a plan that is built on godly principles. Amen? Well, see, this is the same thing. God wants this for all of us. But he wants this for all his children. But so many of his children, back to what this first scripture we read in Proverbs 19, praise the Lord, way back to that scripture, there are many plans, there are many imaginations in a man's heart. But it's the Lord's counsel to stand. He's saying that. He's saying that if you don't follow God's plan, you can't be acceptable to him, and your plans will fail you. You can have ideas, but they will fail. Man's plans always fail. They always do, unless they are built on God's plans. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 5:17. It's actually these scriptures right here that we're getting into, 2 Corinthians 5:17, that this entire sermon was based around. I was off in another direction, and I can't even remember how I got here. But I got here, and I saw these scriptures, and it just this sermon was built on that. That's how the Lord will open it. See, that's why it's important to be in the Word. Because you could be in the Word and or not be in the Word and not get the plan, and here I got the plan, and I'm so thankful I did, because this is helping me too. Hallelujah. This reminds me, hey, wait a minute. As long as I operating according to God's plan, it doesn't matter what it looks like in the world. It's going to be successful. It's going to work out, amen? Because there's times when it doesn't look successful. Listen, when you plant your seed in the ground, if you're a farmer, or if you've known a farmer, you know that when you take that seed, you can have a whole big bucket full of seed. Praise the Lord. And it looks like you have something, doesn't it? But if you take that seed and you go out and stick it in the ground, now it looks your bucket's empty, isn't it? It doesn't look like you have anything. And for a time, it looks that way. But see, because you know the principle of how growing, a farmer knows the principle of how things grow, they don't get sad when they put the seed in the ground, because they know that when they put the seed in the ground, that their harvest is about to come. It's not going to look like it next week or next month, but it will happen. Amen? You know the old saying, what was it, corn is knee high by the 4th of July, I think is what it was. You know, when you see the corn there, you don't have the 4th of July. Summer's cooking, man. Summer's been going. We've already had picnics and everything, but you haven't had corn on the cob yet. Well, I mean, unless you got it from out of state, but you haven't had local corn on the cob yet. Why? Because it's only knee high. It's not pickable yet. But what happens in August when that corn is up above your head and there's tons and tons of corn? There's so much they throw it away. Why? Because that's what harvest looks like. The same principle. God said the same principle works in our lives. The same principle works for following the Word. There will be times when it doesn't look like there's great harvest. Listen, when Jesus was on the cross, it didn't look like there was going to be much harvest. Actually, everything that they thought, the disciples thought, everything was shattered in their minds. But see, this is why it takes a person of faith to trust in God, because if you trust in God, you know even when it looks bad, it's working in your favor. I said even when it looks bad. When you trust in God, even when it looks bad, it's working for you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. This is the kind of stuff we need to know. This is how Christians don't give up. It's because they realize, wait a minute, my God's bigger, my God's stronger. It looks bad now, but he's working for me. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Therefore, verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Why then, if this scripture is true, why then do Christians come into the church and continue to live the way they always lived? Why do they do that? Why do Christians come into the church? They come to hear the Word of God. They come to have their lives changed. And then they refuse to change. They refuse to do the Word. They refuse to hold on tight. They refuse to have their sacred cows get stomped on. They refuse to have their religious ideals changed according to the Word I'm talking about. I'm not talking about man's ideas or many plans in a man's heart, many imaginations in a man's heart. I'm talking about the plan of God, the Word of God. That's why we preach the Word of God. That's why, as my wife says, we start with the Word of God, we stay with the Word of God, and we end with the Word of God. Why? Because the Word of God is sure. My ideas are not sure. I will give you a list. You want to sit down with me sometime and find out what Jeff's ideas get you? I'm going to give you a whole list of things. I'm going to show you how they went bad, went wrong. Praise the Lord. I said this before, that my ideas had me hugging toilets that I wouldn't even use today. I wouldn't even sit on today. Yeah. Praise the Lord. It's the truth. And yet, there was times when I was right. Those were my ideas. I'm so thankful that my God delivered me from that. I'm so thankful that I had a God who saw a way out of that. Praise the Lord. See, and that's the other thing. You're in a mess that you can't get out of. You just need a little more of God in your life. You just need a little more of His direction in your life, because He'll bring you right out of that. Because God wants to bring you out of it. That's His plan. His plans are of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's His imaginations for you. Do you know how many people live and die? God's sitting up there in heaven imagining things for them. thinking about them, thinking, you know what? I want this for my child. I want that for my child. Any parents in here? Is there any parent in here? You know, Jesus even asked this question. He said, how many of you parents, if your kid asked for a stone or a fish, would give him a stone instead? In other words, your kid was hungry and you give him something they can't eat. How many of you would do that? He said, if you being evil do good things for your kids, how much more your Father in heaven? How much more your Father in heaven? How much more? How much more? How much more your Father in heaven? He has good plans. He's sitting up there right now thinking about you, thinking about your life, thinking about what wonderful things he's got for you. And all he needs you to do is say, yes, yes, Father, I believe you, and I'll go your way. I'll do what I got to do. I'll jump on board. That's what he's waiting for. That's all God's doing. He's sitting up there thinking about you and how wonderful your life could be. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Oh, man, I'm going to tell you right now, and I don't say this in any kind of pride, but this message is much better, much bigger than this congregation.
Yeah. Yeah.
This message is something the body of Christ needs to understand and know with every fiber of their being. Because if you know this, then everything else becomes easy. Yeah. Everything else in life becomes cakewalk. Yeah. Because if you know this, if you understand who God has made you to be, if you understand what God is thinking about you, then you would understand that he has such wonderful, beautiful things for you, and he will withhold nothing good from you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise you, Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. So anyways, where were we? Verse 18. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. The word reconciled means return to favor or live righteous or acceptable to him. So God has returned us to that place where we can live righteous. That's what Jesus did. This is what the grace of God is for. The grace of God isn't so we can go out and continue to live like idiots. Right? Praise the Lord. That's what you do when you live in the world not apart from God. When you're not going to church, when you're not hearing the word of God, you're living like a moron. How do we know that? Because the word is what changes us. It's the word that changes us. It's the word that's preached that changes us. That's what we need. Listen, I live like a moron too. I'm not just looking down on you saying, oh, you're bad people, because that's not the truth at all. I'm just saying that, and listen, it's stupid to live apart from God when he planned everything, when he designed everything. It's stupid to put his plans down and say, no, I don't want any of that. Yeah, that's exactly what I did. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I got to get moving here because I got to get through this. Praise God. So he's given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses, and has committed to us a word of reconciliation. Now then, since he has done that, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. You know what an ambassador is? They're one who speaks on behalf. You know, when you have an ambassador from China come, they speak on behalf of China. All of China. They'll send one person to speak. We are ambassadors of Christ. We should be speaking on behalf of God. Isn't that amazing? Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Now then, we are ambassadors of Christ as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Listen, this is not talking. He's writing this to the Corinthian church. He is not saying this to people out there who aren't saved. He's saying this to the church. Be reconciled to God. Be brought back to the things that God wanted for you in the first place. He's like, you are choosing not to be. He's like, you have to be reconciled. This is what they're, he said, as though God is pleading through us. Be reconciled. As God is pleading through me tonight, children of God, be reconciled to God in his plan, in his direction for you. Hallelujah. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him, in Jesus. Praise the Lord. Chapter 6, verse 1. We then, as workers together with him, workers together with him. We don't work separately from God. But so many people try. They do their own plans. This is what I want to do. Not get on your knees and say, Lord, what do you have for me? Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, do you want me to change here? I'll change. Praise God. Hallelujah. Listen, it took a lot of God's coaxing to get me to pastor a church. It took a lot more of God's coaxing to get me to pastor two churches. Yeah. Why? Because my plan was not to pastor a church. That wasn't my plan. Yeah. I wanted nothing to do with that mess. Yeah. What I wanted to do was what I wanted to do. Yeah. I laid down those plans because God was calling me. But listen, sometimes God, there'll be plans that God doesn't mind that we still do. But there'll be plans that God will say, you're going to put it down. Yeah. You'll never touch it again. Yeah. That's okay. Because his plan is for blessing and not cursing. His plan is for peace. His plan gives us a future and a hope. See, you will enjoy those things for a time, but they'll become like vile in your mouth. Yeah, amen. We then, as co-workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Grace is the gift. Do not receive the gift of grace in vain. Meaning that if we, listen, this is what so many Christians do. They receive salvation and then they just turn right back to their old life. They've received it in vain. They may get saved and they may go to heaven, but they never did anything that God had planned for them. That's receiving the grace of God in vain. They don't seek after God and say, you know something, there's something more for me to do. You know, even before I was fully serving God, I just sensed something was coming. I sensed it in my spirit. I didn't know it was my spirit, but that's what it was. I sensed something was coming. I was saved, but I didn't live for God. I didn't know how to live for God. I was never taught that. But I sensed something was coming, and I sensed it was good in a time when everything was so horrible, in a time when I have a gun in my mouth. I ain't joking. This is the life I lived. I had a gun in my mouth in this time period, but I sensed that there was something coming. Praise the Lord. Something calling to me. Hallelujah. That was God's call. Amen. Now look at here. He says, for he says, verse 2, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Praise God. Now this is referencing something in the Old Testament. And I always think it's important when the New Testament represents refers to something from the Old Testament, I always go back and look and see what it says in the Old Testament. Because we have what it says here, but we also have what it says there. And a lot of times there's more to it. Amen? More understanding. This is referencing Isaiah 49:8. Where it says, thus says the Lord, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. I will preserve you and give you as a covenant to the people. Now he's talking to Jesus there. This is a prophecy of the coming Messiah. How do we know this? Well, for one, in my Bible, it's capital, the U is capitalized, and he doesn't do that. But that's who he's referring to. In an acceptable time I have heard you, and the day of salvation I have helped you. I will preserve you and give you as a covenant to the people. Who was given to us as a covenant other than Jesus? Nobody. Jesus was given as a covenant. A covenant is a promise. When you get married, or if you've ever watched a wedding, or if you've ever heard of a wedding, praise the Lord. Is there anyone ever even heard of a wedding in here? Praise God. What do the people do? The two people are standing there. They are exchanging vows. They are entering into covenant. They are saying what they are going to do for the other person. Amen. That's the same thing that God did with Jesus. He was saying what he was going to do for us. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we see that as a covenant but look at what the covenant was to do. To restore the earth. To cause them to inherit the desolate heritages. You say, what is that? I know you're saying that because that's what I said. Like, what is that? What are the desolate heritages? It's the promised land. It's an inheritance. Hallelujah. That's what the desolate heritage. It's the things that God had intended for good, but they had become desolate because there was nobody with faith there maintaining them and keeping them. You know, what came to mind to me as I was thinking about this is the city of Detroit. Have you anyone heard of Detroit here? Detroit was once a great and mighty city. It was huge. It was just a sprawling, huge city. It grew up. There was all the big three automakers were there. Amen? Some of the best jobs, manufacturing jobs in the world were right there. There was people who were laborers who were making what white-collar people were making. Yeah. I'm talking about people who just did factory jobs or were making, you know, 30 years ago were making 25, 30 bucks an hour. We're talking with full benefits, crazy benefits. So this city is being built and it's just expanding and expanding and expanding. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's part of what America is supposed to do. But you know, if you go to Detroit today, it's really interesting. There's whole neighborhoods that are just empty. Whole neighborhoods. I saw skyscrapers. We were driving through Detroit one time. I saw a skyscraper. A skyscraper. I'm not talking about a tall building like, you know, 5-6 stories. I'm talking a skyscraper with no glass in it. Just barren. This is what desolate places are. It was once intended for wealth and prosperity, and now what's it like? But see, God, Jesus, what part of his purpose was to restore those things. So imagine somebody coming in and saying, somebody coming into to Detroit with billions of dollars and saying, I'm restoring it all. I'm bringing it back to its former glory. We're building the businesses, the neighborhoods, these houses that are falling apart. They're all going to be restored and refashioned. This is what Jesus did. This is what Jesus came for, to restore the desolate places, to restore to us the Bible says there, it says to restore to them, praise the Lord, restore the earth, to cause them to inherit the desolate heritages, the things that have become desolate. Hallelujah. Verse 9 says that you may say to the prisoners, go forth, to those who are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed along the roads, and their pastures shall be all the desolate heights. Praise God. Yo, have we ever heard about God? Let me finish this. They shall neither hunger nor thirst, neither heat nor sun shall strike them. For he who has mercy on them will lead them. Sounds like Romans 8:14, doesn't it? As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For he will lead them. Jesus said, I have to go away because when I go, I'm going to send the Comforter. He's the one that's going to guide and lead you. See how this all ties together? Well, I hope you do. Praise the Lord, because it's awesome. For he who has mercy on them will lead them. Even by the springs of water, he will guide them. Have we ever heard a place in Scripture before where the Bible talks about the Lord is my shepherd? He brings me beside still waters. He leads me to green pastures. What is that? Green pastures is all your supply. It's your food. It's all the things you need. Still waters means calm, no storms. That's what God is leading and bringing us to. That's what the Word of God is trying to bring us to. That's why Jesus died, was to bring us to that place where we can live in that again. That's what God intended for us, but it is only found in His plan. It is not found in man's plans. Many are the plans in man's heart, but the Lord's counsel, that will stand. That's the thing that will come through. That's the thing that will work. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm going to close with a scripture, Proverbs 4:18. Go ahead and flip there. Praise God. Hallelujah. God is so good. He wants to restore things to us. He wants us to go back to where we were supposed to be in the first place. The church, it's not too late. Listen, it's not too late. I don't care if there was two people sitting in here. Then for two people, it's not too late if they're willing to do what the Word says. That's the wonderful thing about God's Word. He doesn't care. God can have a major outpouring right here in this church tonight. He could have a major outpouring, a major revival in your home when you get there. Praise God. All he needs is somebody who seeks him, somebody who's hungry for him. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what, I love this message so much I want to preach it twice. Amen. I do. I'm telling you, it's so good. Hallelujah. Yeah, praise the Lord. Proverbs 4:18. But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. Amen. That word just is also the word righteous, the one who is acceptable to God. The path of the one who is acceptable to God is like the shining sun. It grows brighter and brighter. Brighter and brighter. The one who chooses God's plan, their path is brighter and brighter. I'm going to tell you something. My life is a testament to this. My life was lived in darkness. My life was lived in sadness, in depression, in drug abuse, in fornication, in all kinds of worldly things. My life was filled with it. But my life is brighter and brighter and brighter. My 40s, oh my God, my 40s are like, they make my 30s, like my 30s pale in comparison. My 20s pale in comparison to my 30s. My 40s, I can't wait for my 50s, 60s, 70s. Hallelujah. Why? Because my path is growing brighter. Glory to God. God isn't through with you yet. And he's not through with me yet. He's not through with Corey yet. He wants this area to have that resurgence. Hallelujah. And I'm going to tell you something. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, it drives out natural problems. Yeah, natural poverty, gone. Because if God is raising up a church, if he's raising up people, then he promised that he will supply for them. And listen, there's people that are going to supply for you. There are people that supply for us today. There will be people that continue to supply. My supply isn't getting less, it's growing. And not because I have more churches. It's because God is growing in me and I'm following his plan. As you follow God's plan, he will show you what to do. And as you do that, it will increase and increase. God, you know one of the ways God has always showed me how to increase? Is to increase others. Hallelujah. Yeah, I pour into others. Praise the Lord. My wife, I say this all the time. It's the truth. My wife and I gave more last year than we ever given. Praise God. Hallelujah. Why? Because we understand the principles of God. Amen. God is taking us somewhere. Amen. People have things out of order. They fail to walk into what God has for them. It's why prayers go unanswered and why faith seems to fail. Always. Because they can be good people in church. Oh, you know Aunt Sally, she was so faithful to church. She served in church. She did this and that. But did she trust God? I don't know. I'll tell you this, if she walked into what less than what God had for her, then it's because she didn't fully trust God. You can be in church and not fully trust God. I've known plenty of people. I've been in church and not fully trusted God. Praise God. Hallelujah. One of the things I'm claiming in my family, I claim this all the time, is that we don't just operate in healing or receive healing. We live in healing. I live in it. My family, we live in healing. Well, some of us aren't feeling good today. That's all right. We live in healing. Praise the Lord. We live in prosperity. Well, we don't have all the money that we need today. It doesn't matter. We live in prosperity. I confess these things. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Because confession is, well, that's a whole nother sermon. Praise the Lord. But God is good. He wants to lead us into the things of righteousness. He wants to lead us into good place. He has that blessing for us. Praise the Lord. But it's only going to get there. You will only get there. And I'm going to tell you something. Well, something sad, I'm going to close with this. Something sad occurred to me today as I was preparing this message. You know, the Bible Jesus had in Mark 4, the Bible taught, Jesus talked about the different kinds of ground that people are. Out of all the people that sit in church, only a small percentage of people that sit in churches will ever produce anything. Only a small, like in their lives, they'll ever do what God intended for them to do. Only a small percentage. That's sad because I know that every person I preach to won't get it. There'll be people that will walk away and never get it. Praise the Lord. But the truth of it, that's a sad, but we're here for those little, those few who will. Those few that will make those steps each and every time.